My name is Ashley McGlone. I am one of the pastors here at New Song, and we have a number of special guests with us today and a very special service plan today. I would like to begin by recognizing Marlene and Pam. If you could just wave at everybody. Marlene and Pam, yes? So each year, for those of you who are new to New Song, each year we have a language and culture camp for exchange students before they go across the United States to their families for the year. And Marlene and Pam work very hard all year long to make this happen. And so we have a number of special guests with us as well this morning for their first time here. So we'd like to extend a special welcome to all of our exchange students that are with us today. And thank you for joining us. And we hope that you have a good time getting to know your families. We have two students with us, and we've just really enjoyed spending time with them over the last few days and sharing stories and talking about where they're from and where we're from and our families. It's been just a wonderful time. So today we do have something special planned. I'm not going to give a message today, but we do have something else special planned. So if you've watched the news this last week, it's very clear that we live in a broken world. Some people live for violence, but we live for peace and the hope that Christ came to give us. And so this morning, we want to share that hope with you, and we want to show you a way that you can share that hope with others. So this morning, Paul, why don't you come on up? We have Paul Maxim, who's one of our ministry leaders here in the area of outreach. He's going to share about something that we call No Place Left, which is an evangelism and gospel strategy that I found really helpful. And I want to define a word for our exchange students this morning. So as Christians, we talk a lot about sharing the gospel. And the word gospel means the good news. The good news that there's a God in heaven who created us and loves us and wants us to know him. And so Paul and a couple of his helpers this morning are going to tell us about that good news. Thanks,
Paul. Thank you. That's a good summary, Ashley. What we're talking about here is basically the result of a problem that started thousands of years ago when there was only two people on the face of the earth. But God wasn't willing to let us go our way without providing a way of reconciliation. And that message is the gospel, that good news that Ashley just talked about. No Place Left, if you Google it, is not an organization or a group of people. What it is, it's a movement, and there is you can't get a website on it. But it comes from the verse in the Bible where Paul said in Romans 15, and by the way, I think Janet is handing out flyers or sheets you can follow along for if you haven't got one, raise your hand. Okay, good, thank you. Paul said near the end of his life, but now with no further place for me in these regions. What he was saying was he finished up the work that God gave him to do. And, you know, a couple thousand years later, there's still a work that needs to be finished. And that work is to bring the message of the life that God offers to people. And there's a deadline in Matthew 24. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So before Jesus returns to earth, he wants every people group in the world to hear the message of life. And I think I can safely say and ask the question, wouldn't we all love it if everybody on the face of the earth got an opportunity to hear this message of life? And that's what No Place Left is about. It's we want to start disciple-making and gospel movements to where there's no area, no people group on the earth left who has not heard and had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. When I think of sharing the gospel and being fruitful in God's kingdom, leading people to Christ, a couple of verses come to mind regularly. One of them is Jesus told the parable of the farmer who sowed seeds. He said, "The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was planted." Well, anybody that's been gardening or knows anything about growing stuff, plants produce seeds and seeds produce other plants. Well, this has always been a frightening and discouraging verse for me. I never thought I could produce disciples five times, five other disciples. So that's been a kind of a dark cloud in my Christian life. Then in Matthew 28, which is always inspiring to me, and a lot of us too, when it gets down to making disciples of all the nations, well, I thought I could never do that. God must have some other purpose for me. But it also says in God's word in John 15, Jesus talked to his disciples and he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." So anyone that has come to know Jesus Christ, it's been a long time that Christ has been working, even from before you were born, to bring you to himself. And that we would take part in the work that he started here on earth. So he chose me to bear fruit. And I've often said, "Lord, you mean me? Produce fruit?" And I just, you know, have not felt that capable of doing that. Well, a number of years ago, about seven to be exact, that process started. Thanks to Christians around the world who have been very creative and working especially hard to bring the message of Jesus to all the peoples who have not heard about him, have developed some very clear and simple methods of doing that. So it's not dependent on me or anyone else to one by one bring this message to every person on the face of the earth. But we can and all do have a part in what Jesus said to do. And there's resources available. I listed a couple books on there on your handout. Let's see. Peter, could you play that YouTube for me, please, there? This is a short overview of why the Christians all over the world have come up with this name, No Place Left, and the process of carrying it out. No Place Left training equips us with some simple, clear, and reproducible tools that can help us start what they call a disciple-making movement. In the parable about the sower of the seeds, like I mentioned, produce plants. Plants produce more seeds. The next season, those seeds are planted. They produce more plants. And that's how the seed is multiplied to produce 100 times. It's not that first plant that produces all the seeds, but it's the generations of seeds being planted from the plants that grew from the previous seeds. And our dear friends, Mike and Sue Cater, are a clear example of this. Their goal this year is to present the gospel to 1 million people in India and Nepal. And, you know, Mike and Sue don't have time in their life to go out and talk to 1 million people. In fact, it's humanly impossible. But in their years in India and Nepal, they've been training Christ followers who have become 30 and 60, 100-fold fruitful believers and sharing with their families and their villages in all of northern India and Nepal. And last year, they did that. The gospel was presented to over 1 million people in India and Nepal. So I'm going to draw a quick little diagram here. For me, this is high technology. The old technology I grew up with was a blackboard and white chalk. So this is high tech for me. That's you or me. We shared this gospel with a couple other people. And we teach them how to share the gospel and how to train disciples. And so they go out. And train a couple. In this program, we continue to be friends with and build up these two people and their faith. And I help them with the ones who they've led to faith in Christ and are training disciples. And we teach them, mainly this person here, teaches them to go out and do the same. You get the idea there. So I help them train these disciples, and they help these guys train these disciples. And so I might meet these people right in here. But you know what? I'll probably never meet these people right here. So I'm just going to draw a line here. 1, 2, 3, 4 generations. These people are out here telling people about Jesus and making disciples, teaching them how to live a life of following God. Okay, get the idea there. This is a fifth generation. This guy here probably knows very few of them and doesn't know any of them. But the gospel is continuing to go out because of these people here. So all I have to do is to continue to help these guys, and then these guys help these guys, help these guys grow in their faith, and it continues on. And so it's like the seed that's planted bears a, like wheat. I don't know how many kernels there are in a head of wheat, maybe 30 or 40. And then they go out and produce 30 or 40 other plants that produce 30 or 40 other seeds that produce 30 or 40 other plants. When it gets to this point here, they're calling that a movement. It has a life of its own at this point. I no longer have to pour energy into it at this point. And so that's what they are calling a movement. It moves on its own. But in order for that to happen, we have to train these guys how to make and build other followers of Jesus Christ so that they can train these people to follow Jesus also. And so what we're doing is, like the title of the book, Training Trainers. One more graphic here before our main show comes up. I'm just a warm-up band today, by the way. I'm not the special treat that Ashley talked about. In order for a process to be effective at multiplying disciples, it has to be biblical. In other words, it has to be part of God's plan. It has to have God's truth out of the Bible. It has to be transformational. In other words, it has to be able to change people's lives for the better. The first thing that happens when a person hears the gospel is they become a new person. Immediately they start changing. So this method has to provide a way, and it's often called church, small group, fellowship, Bible teaching, and it has to be biblical, obviously, otherwise it's not of God. And so it has to be able to transform people. In order for it to continue on its own, like that movement I talked about, it has to be reproducible. In other words, it has to be so simple and easily passed on that anybody could do it. And Mike and Sue Cater have done this by the fact that they have many young kids who are having the Bible studies in their villages and their homes and teaching their friends. You know, 8 and 9-year-old girls in some of the pictures they've sent show that. Where these three circles merge, then we can have a movement. That means it's got a life of its own, that us human beings have done our part, and the rest is up to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And No Place Left Training provides a biblical, transforming, reproducible method to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people so that they can follow Christ and teach others to do the same, who will teach others to do the same. Okay, now for the main show here. Susanna and Greta are going to come up and show us a gospel presentation that is simple, clear, and being used around the world.
Okay, give me just a second to get this to work here.
You can use the whiteboard.
Do this.
I think I hit the wrong one.
There we go.
Okay. All set. All right. So we've got the three circles, and we have it in Japanese as well. So we're going to go through it first so that you all can understand it, and then I'll go through it by myself, and then we'll have you guys do it. So it's super, super easy to learn. So we're going to start with what we call the three circles. It's a very simple tool that is easy, it's reproducible, it's biblical, and it's transformational, as we saw with what Paul has said. So here is an overall viewpoint of what it's going to end up looking when you finish. So we start up here on the right-hand corner where it says broken. And what we want to point out is that our world is broken. We live in a place of brokenness. And we try many different things to fix it. We might try substances like alcohol or drugs. We might try relationships. We might try success. We might try just hard work trying to get ourselves out of this broken world. But we can't because we ourselves are broken. But that's not how it was supposed to be. In the beginning, God created a beautiful design for us to live in harmony with Him and not be a part of this broken world. But we didn't want to do things God's way. We wanted to do it our way. And when we chose to go our way, that's called sin because we're not living in God's way. And that put us in the broken world where we are stuck in the cycle of brokenness. As the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the wages of sin is death. Brokenness is death. Warts, we see death. We see death all around us. That is the punishment for our sin. But we do have hope because God did not want it to stay it this way. He sent Jesus, who is God. And Jesus is God. And Jesus lived a perfect life. He came down to earth, living a perfect life on earth as God. He paid the penalty, death, which we have said before is the wages of sin. It's the penalty for sin. He died on a cross, and then he rose again on the third day. And as the scriptures say, it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have a free gift that God has given us that through Jesus we can be back in that design God had for us. So to get from our brokenness to get to Jesus, to get to God, we have to turn. We have to turn away from doing things our way. We have to turn away from our sin. And then we have to believe. We have to trust in Jesus. We have to make him king of our lives and agree to follow him for the rest of our life. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when we come down to Jesus and we accept what Jesus has done for us, we then are placed in God's perfect design. We get to live in that harmony with God. And because we are in God, we are now, So now you guys are either in one of two spots. You're either still in the broken spot place. You're still in that brokenness because you can feel it in your heart that you are not in the place you're supposed to be. Or you're in God's design for your life where you have that peace and harmony and that fellowship with God. Once you have decided that you want to follow Jesus and you want to grow in Christ, two things happen. You get to grow. You get to grow in Christ. You get to become like him. And the second thing that you do is you get to go into the world and we're going to tell the broken world about the gospel. So Greta here is going to be my subject, and she's going to come up and she's going to pretend to be a person who I'm going to show this three circles to. You ready?
Hello.
Hello, Greta. Would you mind if I showed you a quick picture about that kind of illustrates what Christianity is all about?
Sure.
All right. So would you agree with me that this world is broken?
Yeah, I guess so. I would say that's pretty true.
Yeah, it's kind of evident when you see hunger, you see wars and stuff, it's kind of all broken around us. But did you know it wasn't supposed to be like that? In the beginning, God created a perfect design. And in his design, he wanted us to live with him in harmony. But we chose not to do that. We didn't want to do what God said. And because of that, we got stuck over in this broken world because of our sin. Well, God didn't want us to be stuck in this broken world. We ourselves want to try things to get out of it because we don't want to be stuck here either. So we try different things like drugs, alcohol, success, hard work, marriage, relationships. We just try many different things trying to get out. And they're all like bungee cords and they just kind of snap us right back into there. But we don't get out on our own. We have to go to God. And God wants a relationship with us. So he sent Jesus. Now, Jesus is God. And Jesus came to the earth. He lived a perfect life. He sacrificed himself by dying on a cross, which is a horrible, horrible death. But he lived perfectly and he died for us. And then he didn't stay dead because he proved he was God and he rose from the dead on the third day. So now we have a way to God, but there are some choices we have to make. So we have to choose to turn away from our brokenness. That means we're going to turn away from our sin and we're going to turn to God.
What's sin, Susanna?
Sin is when we choose to do things our way. It's basically any wrong choice we make, any wrong thought we do, any wrong action we do, anything that's wrong, because you all kind of have a conscience. You know when you're doing something wrong. You know when you're stealing. You know when you say something bad. You know when you hurt people, you're doing something wrong. So that is what sin is. It's the things that you do wrong, and you usually can tell what those are.
Oh, okay.
Unless you can't, then I'll help you. All right, so we turn away from our brokenness, and then we have to follow Jesus. We're going to believe in him. Oops, spelled believe wrong. We're going to believe in Jesus, and that means we are going to make Jesus the king of our life. And so that through Jesus, we can get to God. Now, Greta, where would you say you are in this picture? Would you say you're over here in God's design for your life, or would you say you're over here in the brokenness?
I don't know. I would say I'm still probably in brokenness.
Do you understand, like, how you can get from your brokenness over to God's design for your life?
Maybe. You just, like, do a lot of good things, right? Like, that's enough.
Not really, no. Okay. No matter how many good things we do, we really don't measure up to God because God is perfect. It's kind of like comparing a kind of dirty cloth with a perfectly clean white cloth. It's still dirty. You're still sinning. You're never going to be as perfect as God. That's why we turn away from those bad things we do, bad thoughts we think, all the things we do where we do things that are not God's way. So that's kind of, does that make a little more sense?
I think so. So basically, like, no matter how good I try to be, it's never going to be enough.
It's never going to be enough. So that's why we have to go to Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who, by his sacrifice, washed away all of our sin. So, Greta, if you want to get to God, you have to go through Jesus, and you have to turn away from your sin and believe. And when you do that, you get to have two very exciting things that happen. First is you get to grow. You get to grow into God's design for you, which is harmony and peace. And the second thing you're going to do is you're going to go. We're going to go back to the broken people we know, the brokenness around us, and we're going to tell them about Jesus, because in Jesus we can find peace. So, does that make more sense now? Do you understand how to get to God's plan through the brokenness?
Yeah.
From the brokenness to God's plan.
Yeah, I think I get it now. I think I just, like, was confused. So I think it's just, like, really it's only by, like, accepting Jesus, like, turning away, like, from the way I like to do things and just, like, believing in him. And that will, I don't know, get me back to God, like, relationship with him.
Awesome. Well, now we're going to have all of you all get into groups of four or five, and you've got note cards, and we're going to have you guys practice. And if you need help, I'm here. Greta knows it much better. She can help you too. We'll all help you out. So just, you can turn your chairs, just get in groups of four or five, and we're going to practice this, because it's pretty easy to do. Pens.
Pam did the PowerPoint. Thank you, Pam. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful message of redemption. Lord, thank you that that you came to redeem us from the brokenness, from the sin. And that we can have new life in you. And Lord, just place this message on our hearts. Let it develop deeply in us, Lord, that we may be able to effectively communicate to the world around us, and that we may be able to, and that we might just not be able to resist sharing this with everyone we come into contact with. Bless each one here, Lord, as we depart, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.